Thank you, thank you. Thank you again, Pastor Benji, for inviting me to speak here. And it's a privilege for me and my family to be seeing you guys and worshiping the Lord here in a part of Vancouver. Makes us feel like we're home, you know. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you for your goodness, and thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for a privilege, Lord, of worshiping you freely. Father, we celebrate you, and we celebrate what you have done on the cross for us. And that's the reason why we're here. And be with us, Father God. And Lord Jesus, I pray that your word will be front and center of everything that we do today, not only today, but even as we dismiss. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you? So this is the first time that we've been here during summer. Well, my wife is from here, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying Vancouver. I'm enjoying Seattle. I just came from CCF Seattle for their family retreat. And also, I was able to join your retreat as well, Leaders Retreat, a couple of days ago. So before I start, I would like to formally introduce my family. This is my family. That's Yeshua. So I'll start with my kids. Yeshua is turning 10 this August. And also, I have two daughters, Isabel and Yana. And if you look at my left side, you will see a very beautiful woman, Lisa. That is my wife. She's with me. Lisa, say hi. So she's at the back. And you know, we usually speak together. Every time we do a retreat, we speak together. And every time we speak, every time we're both in front, people would look at me and then look at her. And then look at me, look at her. Look at me, look at her. I can see people doing that. And even before we speak, I realize I can see the eyes of people. They have this big question mark. But despite of the question mark, I see that, and I'm convinced that they already are blessed. You know why? I see that they're blessed already even before we speak. You know why? Because now they realize that God indeed answers prayers. And there is, you know, God actually do miracles still. So yes, our family is a miracle. And I'm also with my parents, you know, my in-laws. That's my mom right there, my dad's at the back, and my sister and brother at the back. So we kind of look the same. And then, my in-law, you know, my grandfather. So he's also a pastor. And, you know, just in case you're not convinced that we're married, I scanned my wedding photo. And for those of you who still are doubting that we're together, I scanned my wedding certificate. And I also have a scanned copy of an NSO copy here in my pocket. Just in case you're still not convinced, I can show it to you. You know, marriage is a good thing. And, you know, when you see people getting married, you see all these wedding photos, and they seem okay, and they seem happy, but you don't know the backstory behind that, right? And, you know, like most of you probably, Lisa and I struggled with our marriage. She's an MK, missionary kid, you know, I think fifth generation Christian, and I'm a PK, pastor's kid, and we thought we knew everything about marriage, and we thought we prepared ourselves for marriage, but during our first 5 years of marriage was like hell on earth. So we were even thinking of separating, and, you know, there was a time because of my temper problem, I even pointed a knife at her, and you can't just imagine the kind of trauma that my wife went through. And so I'm sharing you this because I want to let you know that we are not perfect, and it's only by God's grace that we are here. I'm serving here. I'm preaching about families. I'm preaching about reconciliation. But really, it is God who really changed our lives. And, you know, one thing that helped the church, one thing that helped us is the church having a small group. So if you are not part of a small group yet, it's you're missing a lot, because transformation happens not in the pews. We believe in Caesar. It doesn't happen in the pew. The things that I share with you here, you'll probably forget in a couple of days, a couple of months. By the time you eat lunch, you'll probably forget. But you know, in small groups, it is you will remember it, and it will be you'll be accountable to apply what you have learned. So we really encourage you to be part of a small group. If you're not part of a small group yet. And it really helped us in our marriage. So it's only by God's grace that I'm leading the CCF Family Ministry and Next Gen. So everything that you see here, you know, only by God's grace. You have, I just want to know, anybody here, I would like to know how many of you here, you have kids? All right. Good, good. I would like to know, how about the singles? Can I see the singles? So just to have an idea. How about, for you have grandkids already? How many of you have parents? Of course. Yeah, all of us have parents, because our topic for today will be relevant whether you're single or married or you're a kid, because our topic for today is all about honoring our parents. But before that, I would like to share with you a story. You know, one time Yeshua was looking at his iPad, and this was about 3 years ago, and we tried to monitor our kids' iPad use because of digital addiction. It's so rampant today, and it causes real, real havoc in the family. And so I noticed when Yeshua was looking at his iPad, all of a sudden, he turned the volume down. I was just beside him. He turned the volume down. And when I tried to look at him, he was forwarding the video that he was watching. And so I got concerned. I realized, hey, what is this guy watching? You know, and I said, Yeshua, what are you watching? And he said, nothing. And then, what do you mean nothing? You're turning the volume down. I knew that you were watching something, and you're turning the volume down, and now you're trying to hide the iPad from me. And so I said, what do you mean nothing? Nothing, Dad, nothing. And I told Yeshua, Yeshua, don't lie to Daddy. I just want to know what you're watching. And he said, well, and he started to cry. I said, son, I don't, you know, I'm not going to get mad at you. I just want to know what you're watching, because Daddy cares for you. I'm not going to harm you. I'm not going to spank you. I just want you to be honest with me. And then I realized, I went back when I was a kid. I realized that sometimes I hide things from my parents because I think that my parents, when I enjoy something, it is their job to take away that thing that I enjoy most, right? Can you relate? Like, I feel like my dad and my mom are the cosmic killjoy. And sometimes I feel God is the same way. That we are enjoying something, he will take it away just because he's having fun with, you know, taking away what gives us joy. And between what I want and what my parent wants, there's this big gap. And I didn't understand this gap until I've really studied the Bible. Now, also, my daughter, this is Isabel, and she absolutely loves chocolates. Like crazy. If you give her a full pound of chocolate, she will finish it. You know, I give my kids chocolate tiny bit, but I don't give them the full bag. Why? Because I want her to be enjoying sugar until she gets old. If I give her sugar when she's young, she will not be able to enjoy sugar when she gets old, because she will have what? Diabetes. And so, but she couldn't understand it as young as she is. She couldn't understand why Daddy is preventing her from finishing what is good. As far as she's concerned, why she can't finish the whole bag of chocolate. But I do understand, and I need to explain to her what Daddy intends to do and what Daddy is doing. And so between the child's thinking and the parents' desire to control what gives our kids joy, between that is what I call exasperation. And so your kids are exasperated when you take away something that they feel it's good for them, but the parents feel like it's not good for you. And when you don't explain it, you feel what? Exasperated, right? Yes or no? Because for a parent's perspective, this thing that gives you joy right now, if I give it to you now, it will cause you trouble in the future. For the kid, I want it now because it feels good. So what do we need to do to bridge that gap? And Filipinos are very, very, very poor in bridging that gap because we don't communicate much. And sometimes we just tell our kids, you know, you can't do it. Why can't I do it? Because I said so. Because I'm daddy. You just have to obey me. And you know, one thing I realized about, you know, the culture of the Jews, they engage their family like crazy. They don't just answer questions. When the kids ask them questions, they don't answer them with the answer. They just ask them another question. And then the kid would throw back another question. So the question goes back and forth because they're trying to process and they're trying to improve their critical thought. That is how the culture of the Jews are. For Filipinos, if we don't like what our kids are doing, we just shut up and just tell them, you know what, I'm the parent and just do this. So how do we bridge that exasperation? You know, I believe the exasperation gap can be bridged by communicating with our kids what we desire and allowing the kids to communicate what they desire. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Father, do not exasperate your children. What do you mean by exasperated? You know, when you're exasperated, when you're disappointed, when you've given up hope of understanding what your parent thinks, and you've given up hope of understanding what your kid thinks. So how do we bridge that gap? I believe God also bridged that gap by communicating to us His desires. And that communication is right here in the Bible. And so you will live through your life exasperated what's happening in your life if you don't read your Bible. Because you would not understand what's happening with you, and you will not understand, Lord, why is this happening to me? Well, I've been trying to communicate it with you here in the Word, but you have not opened it. And so the communication doesn't come in. So now, the Bible also allowed us, you know, in the Old Testament, God allowed that exasperation to be bridged by through the commandments. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in what? Training and instruction of the Lord. So you really have to engage your family. You really have to communicate with your family so that they would understand your desires, so that they would understand God's desires in their life. And God did that in the Old Testament. Let me show it with you. Now, are you familiar with the Ten Commandments? Familiar? Who's familiar with the Ten Commandments? Who knows the Ten Commandments by heart? Okay, you're familiar. Okay, that's okay. You've memorized the Ten Commandments. Okay, so just a brief preview of the Ten Commandments. Can we all read? One, you shall. Okay, number two, I will read it. You shall not make yourself an idol. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The first four commandments are about what? About our relationship with God. Can we do this? Pastor Peter would like us to do this all the time when he talks about Ten Commandments. He does this. What is the first four commandments? It talks about our vertical relationship with God. First four commandments. How about the next six commandments? It is about our relationship with other people. So, fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. Six is you shall not murder your kids. Seven is you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And number 10, you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. So it talks about what? So the first four commandments is what? Can we all do this? Vertical relationship. And the next six commandments about what? What? Do that. No, just kidding. Don't hit your neighbor. Is about our horizontal relationship. Now, I would like you to notice, before God talked about our neighbors, like do not murder, do not commit adultery, what's the fifth commandment? Honor your father and mother. I believe in life, for you to be successful, first, you need to know the order. You need to have a relationship with God. First four commandments. It's about your relationship with God. And for you to be successful socially, for you to be successful in other areas of your life, socially, you need to honor your parents. Because if you have not learned to honor your parents, you will not be able to have a good relationship with other people. I will present to you why. Last time, during the camp, I talked about how important it is for us to teach our kids how to what? How to submit to the authority of our parents. Now, why? Because if you were not able to submit to the authority of your parent as a kid, do you think you will submit to other authorities? Okay, let me give you an example. If you have not learned how to submit to the authority of your parents, you will not submit to the authority of your teachers. And if you do not submit to the authority of your teacher, you will not be successful in school. Pretty easy. If you have not been able to submit to the authority of your parents, their teacher, do you think you will submit to your professor in college? You will not submit to your professor. So do you think you will be successful in college? Probably not. If you have not learned to submit to your parents, to your teacher, to your professor, do you think you will submit to your boss when you find work? Because you have not learned the basics. And the basic is we need to submit to God, submit to our parents, submit to our teacher, submit to our professor, submit to our boss, submit to authority of the government. See, the Bible is very clear about this. In fact, The Bible, when Moses talked about this, prior to crossing the promised land, he talked about the Ten Commandments first. If you read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, so he talks about the relationship between the father and the kids and their grandkids. But before that, he made sure that he talked about the Ten Commandments first. Why is it important for you to talk about the Ten Commandments before you cross the promised land? Because that is the basic. The worst thing that you could ever do to your family is allow them, give them comfort without the boundaries. I talked about this. It's like giving your kids money without explaining to them the boundaries and how to use it. You will set your kids up for trouble. You will set them up for disaster. If you give them comfort without talking to them about discipline, you are set up your kids to trouble. And that is the reason why, before we get exasperated because of the trouble we're experiencing, God already told us His commandments, because He loves us. You know that your parents love you. That's why they're constraining you. You feel like you're constrained. It is because they love you. Now that I'm a parent, now I understood that. I understand that. Before, I never understood that. I got exasperated. I rebelled against my parents. But now that I'm a parent as well, now I know, okay, this is what they're telling me. And this is what I'm going to do for my family. Now, the topic for today is engage your family. This is part of the CCF core value, love. And the last part is engage your family. Can we all say honor your parents? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. That's Exodus 20, verse 12. Now, a lot of people say, you know, we don't need to talk about the Old Testament anymore because we're in the New Testament. We should focus on the New Testament. But let's see how consistent God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, it's almost the same thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. How many of you would like to live well? Live long. Okay, if you don't want to live well and live long, you don't have to listen to me. You can sleep. Zig Ziglar said, as the family goes, so goes the nation. Now, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. Now, question. What is more important, honor or love? What is heavier? Who says love? Who says honor? Who says I'm not sure? Who says that's a trick question, Pastor Manny? I'm not going to be baited into that. Actually, if you're honest with yourself, love is way more. You know, Jesus even said, you know, hope, love, faith, hope, and love. What is the heaviest, more important? Love. So love is more important. Now, question to you. Why did God say honor your parents instead love your parents? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever asked such question? God could have said, love your parents instead of honor your parents, if you say it is heavier. Now, question to you. Let me test you, and hopefully this will answer that question. Who among you love your parents? Of course. If you will rate your love toward your parents from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, how much do you love your parents? I want you, don't answer me, I want you to shoot it up with your fingers. If you have 12 fingers, that's okay. It means that you love your parents 12 out of 10. That's perfectly fine. 1, 2, 3, go. How much do you love your parents? All right. Okay. I see this. Yeah, I know that. I'm not that old. Okay. 10. Now, let me ask you this question. Who among you honor your parents? If you will rate yourself 1 to 10, if your parents are here right now, and if I ask them, how much do you think they will rate you for honoring them? I would want you, think about it. I would want you to raise your finger up, and I would want you to rate yourself. How much do you honor your parents? 1, 2, 3, go. Wow. Some of you, 10. Praise God. 7. Thank you. Some of you, like, which is a higher rating, love or honor? Now, do you get it? Do you get it now? Loving, sometimes the reason why God, I believe, God used honor is because honor, you have to show it. The other person needs to feel it, needs to feel honored because it's for them. You honor your parents because you it is for them. They need to feel it and experience it from you. With love, sometimes we can say love because it's just out of feelings. But you can never say you honor your parents without engaging them and doing something, right? And so I believe God wants to do something, us to do something so that we can honor our parents. I do understand not all of us live with a good parent. Some of us may have been abused by our parents. I do understand that. And we will talk about it later and how to deal with that. But the fact is that God wants us to honor our parents. So how do we honor our parents? I would want you to put up your hands again. I would like to see your 10 fingers. Do you believe that God wants us to honor our parents 10 out of 10? Do you think God deserves 9 out of 10? Do you think God deserves 7 out of 10? Do you think God deserves 10 out of 10? Yes. And so how do we now, you know, for God's sake and to honor God, how do we now honor our parents? So this is how we do it. Can we all, can I see your hands? Honor our parents with our head. Honor our parents with our heart. And honor our parents with our hands. So that is our outline today. If you have an outline, you can follow this very easily. Honor your parents with your head, heart, and hands. Honor your parents with your head. You know, I was looking at the word honor, the original word of honor, kabad. It means to be heavy. It means to be weighty. It means to be burdensome. What is that in Tagalog? Kaya naman pala pabigat tong nanay at tatay ko eh. Is that you know, mabigat? Is that the word honor? No. We have a better word in Filipino, so excuse me for our Caucasian English-speaking audience. I'll just say it in Filipino. We have a name, we have a word for weight, heavy. That is not mabigat. What is it? Matimbang. That's it. You see the difference? Matimbang means you put so much weight on your parents. And that is exactly what God wants us to have. Put weight in how they think. Put weight in the things that they say to you. Put much weight, more than what you think. If there's a scale, and there's something that you would want to do, and if you're still within your parents' authority, meaning to say you're not married yet, if you're married, you have a little bit of freeway. Because God wants us to, what? Leave and cleave. So we have our own family now, so their authority is not as extensive as they are when you're a kid. But if you're still living with your parents, if you're single, if you're a kid, you're living with your parents or being supported by them or just living with your parents, their authority, what they say, must be more matimbang than what you say. It's not only what they say, but even the way you think. This is how it is. When you go out, you bring what your parents told you, all the advice that they told you, you bring it with you, and assess everything that you process in your mind. What would my parents think about this if I make this decision? Is my parents' decision, do I consider my parents' decision weighty, matimbang, than my decision? If your parents' decision is more weighty than your decision, then what do? Then you obey your parents. You just submit, you just surrender your decision and carry your parents' decision. So you consider what they think, how they would feel, and how would they act when you do something. Is it hard or easy? It's hard. That is why it's part of the Ten Commandments. Because God, if you want your life to be blessed, you put weight, much weight, in their what they're going to say, how they're going to feel, and how they're going to react before you make the decision. You know, one time I was leaving the house, and I'm going to a party, and I was about to go out, and my mom saw me and said, "Where are you going?" "Ma'am, paalam ako kasi pupunta ako ng, I'll go to a party." "Nagpaalam ka pa eh, paalis ka na, nakadgaya ka na." So, dapat sinabi mo na lang, paalam. So, why do you need to ask me for permission when you're already half of your, you know, you're already stepping out of the house? You don't need my permission, you're just saying goodbye. And that is not how we put value toward what our parents would think. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:20-23, "My son, obey your father's command and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, their counsel will lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. When you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a For their command is a lamp, and their instruction is a light, and their corrective discipline is the way to life." You want to live a good life? You want to live a prosperous life? By God's grace, you want to live a blessed life? Then honor your parents. What does it mean? When you walk, their counsel will lead you. What does it mean? It means that their authority is not bounded by just the fence or the house. Once you go out of the house, you bring it with you. Meaning to say, when they send you to college, all their advice, anak, don't go drinking with your, choose your friends. You bring that along with you. You tie it along your neck. So when other people are telling you things that is against to what your parents have told you, what do? Well, you listen to your parents because you put more weight on what they say. When you sleep, they will protect you. Do you want to be protected? Do you want peace when you sleep? You know, honor your parents. When you wake up, they will. Do you want advice all the time? You know, some of us, when we hear our mother's advice, we feel like, ah, I've heard it all before. I'm not going to listen. Ang kulit-kulit ni mami. But he said, when you wake up, they will advise you. For their command is a lamp, and instruction is light. Corrective discipline is the way of life. Now, Proverbs 4:1. Can we all read this? 1, 2, 3, go. Hear, O sons, the instruction of your father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Now, what do you mean by giving attention? How do you give attention to your father and mother? By listening. Now, another question. What organ do you use for listening? Wrong. You use the eyes. When you listen, use the eyes. I want you to look at your parent right now, if you're seated with your parent, or if you're with your spouse. I want you to look at their eyes, or sibling. I want you to look at their eyes and actually hold their hand. Hold their hand. Eyes, eyes. Look in the eyes. Eyes, eyes. I want you to tell your parents, if you're seated with them, you know, mommy, I love you. Look in the eyes. Look in the eyes. Just feel the connection. Just. Is it awkward? Awkward? Feels awkward, right? And that's why you laugh. You laugh it out. Filipinos, when we feel awkward, we laugh it out. You feel awkward, you know why? Because you're not used to it. But as much as, you know, even if it feels awkward, it feels good, right? Especially for the parents. You would have to admit, it feels good. It's awkward, but it feels good. Imagine if you can do this all the time, whenever you speak to someone, not just your parents, your siblings, even your boss. Imagine if you can connect and really listen to them by looking at the eyes. Do you think that will change your relationship toward your parents? Just do that. Forget everything I say today. Just do that. Look at the eyes of your parents when they speak. It will change your relationship. Look at the eyes of your spouse when you speak. It will change your relationship. Look at the eyes of your kids when you speak to them. It will change your relationship. Just do that and it will change your relationship. Why would it change your relationship? There's something that happens in our brain when we look at the eyes and when we connect. It's called oxytocin. Oxytocin is released and it is a happy hormone. That is what you feel. The warm feeling that you feel inside when you speak and when you touch. And where oxytocin, that is the bonding chemical. God allowed us to have that bonding chemical. Now, why am I saying that? When we give attention to our father and mother, we look at the eyes, it means that we are paying attention. And so when we pay attention, we listen, we capture everything that they're saying. The problem is we get used to speaking with our parents or get annoyed or exasperated since we were kids. So now that we are adult, we don't want to listen to our parents because we lost that connection already. Because probably they've hurt us when we were growing up. Probably there is something that they said when we were a kid. And so we're not paying attention to what they're saying anymore. And we need to fix that. Not only the kids, but also the parents. In fact, the Bible says there, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to the fathers. Otherwise, I will smite the land with a curse. Your family, maybe you feel like the relationship is not good, it's cursed, because your heart is not inclined to your parents. And hopefully, by God's grace, we will fix that today. If you're willing to surrender your past to the Lord, hopefully we can fix that today. Now, let's look at this. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is. Why did it note there, you know, the fact that she is old? With the fathers, it doesn't matter. With the mother, do not despise her when she's old. Why is that? What happens to our mom when they get older? Hey, come on, you can be honest with me. How, they have hormonal change and what? What else? They get wrinkled. What else? Nagiging makulit, di ba? Ang kulit eh. They repeat themselves over and over and over and over again. You know, one of my D group members approached me and said, "You know, Pastor Manny, I have a problem. My mom, ang kulit ng nanay ko, paulit. So in English, it's like my mom is so. What's kulit in English? My mom repeats herself, okay, consistently insistent. Ang kulit. Every time she would say something that I'm already doing, and she would still repeat it. Now, honey, can you bring that up? And I'm already carrying it, mom. Can you bring that up, please? Now, I'm already there. I'm there. I'm already on the stairs. Ang kulit. Right? Some of you can relate. Don't laugh too hard because your mom is watching. So, how do I explain that? I told him, dude, how old is your mom? It's like, she's 55. Man, come on. If your mom becomes 60, 65, you can just imagine, she'll be even more makulit. So what am I going to do? Pastor Matt, what am I going to do? Paulit ang nanay ko. Simple, bro. Di paulit din mong pakinggan. The reason why our mom is consistently insistent is because paulit-ulit natin silang di pinakikinggan. And so when they grow older, they feel like they're not heard. And that is why they would keep on repeating it. So now, I would like you to tell your mom when you get home, pag paulit-ulit sila, because they just can't help it. They would just do that. Paulit-ulit, you tell your mom, you know, mom, paulit-ulit ka. But because I love you, paulit-ulit din kitang pakikinggan. Mag-uulit-ulitan tayo from morning to sunset. Mag-ulit-ulitan tayo, and I will ulit-ulit din kitang pakikinggan because I love you. Is that okay? I bet you. Oh, Christians, don't bet pala. I should not bet. I tell you, your mom will be shocked, and she will not repeat herself again when you tell her that. Strategy, right? So that is how we should not despise our mother when she is old. We need to honor our parents. Now, we need to honor our parents with our heart. Starts with our head, and now with our heart. So how do we do that? Honoring your parents has nothing to do with what they did or who they are, but on who they are and who you do it for. You know, you can argue with me, Pastor Manny, you don't know my parents. My parents are the worst parents that you can ever have. But the Bible didn't say, honor your parents when they are good. Honor your parents when they provide for you. Honor your parents when they're, you know, when they sent you to college, when they give everything that you want. It didn't say that. Honor your parents and mother because this is God's command. So what does the Bible say? Children, obey your parents because what? Who among here belongs to the Lord? Well, if you don't belong to the Lord, who do you belong to? If you belong to the other guy, then you're exempted from doing this. But if you belong to the Lord, then we have no excuse but to honor our parents. But my parents are not Christians. More so. But the parents might abuse me. More so. Because you would want your parents to know the Lord through your life. And I will discuss that more later. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your mother, things will go well for you and you will live long on the earth. Honoring your parents has nothing to do with what they did, but who they are. They are your parents. As long as they are your parents, you honor them. And as long as you belong to the Lord, who do it for? You do it for Christ. You do it for the Lord. As long as God is God, as long as Jesus is God, I do it for God. Because this is His commands, I will honor my parents. Doesn't matter how what they did, but who you do it for and who you are. Claro? You know, Malachi 4:6, He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, the children to the fathers, so I will not smite the land with a curse. You know, as we talk about chapter 6 of Exodus, and as we talk about chapter 5, actually, of Exodus, the Ten Commandments, Chapter 5 of Deuteronomy was when Moses was telling the people of Israel the Ten Commandments before they crossed the Promised Land. And chapter 6, he said that, you know, the hearts, your sons, your grandsons, and your, let me just read it. So that you, your son and grandson, might fear the Lord your God and keep all the statutes that I have commanded you. The problem was, as the history of the Israelites go, the Jews go, they didn't have a good relationship with their kids. They forgot to tell them and teach them about God. And so they rebelled against their fathers and they rebelled against their God. And so what happened? Israelites were dispersed. And so in Malachi was saying, well, it is God's desire for me to bless Israel again. And for me to do that, first I need to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, children to their fathers. Because what's preventing blessing in your family and in the land is that your heart is not inclined with your kids. That is why God said, I will smite the land with a curse. If your relationship with your kid is not good, if your kid's relationship with you is not good, then your family is cursed. And the next generation after you will be cursed until you have fixed that. So how do we fix it? Luke 1:17 says here, and he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Is it consistent? The Bible is consistent. Malachi, the last book of the Bible, the last chapter and the last verse, and then in Luke chapter 1, connected. The last verse before the 400 years of God's silence, and then the first chapter of Luke, is consistent with what God is saying. I desire that the hearts of the fathers be inclined with their kids. Why is that? Because it allows us to have a good relationship with our kid, and it allows us to reflect how good our relationship is with the Father, God the Father. You know, there are a lot of people who absolutely hate the fact that God is our Father. Why? Because they didn't have a good relationship with their fathers. And they see that the reflection of their father in God the Father, which is sad. In fact, it is our duty as parents, dads, who among here are fathers? It is our duty as fathers to reflect God's love at home. And if we're not reflecting that, we are giving a false impression to our kids that our God is not a loving father, is not a good father. And that it puts a big burden in our shoulders. That is why even Moses was telling you, I'm talking to you, fathers, so that your kids and your grandkids would love the Lord. That is the burden that God has given to us, that we need to have a good relationship with our kids. We need to honor our father with our hearts. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. You know, if you ask most men here, we've done a research, considerable research. It doesn't matter how much your father was when you were growing up. But there's this innate desire for kids, especially male kids. There's this innate desire for us to, what? Make our father proud, right? There's this innate desire in us to make our father proud. Like everything that we do, we want to make our father proud. I've given you an example before. When I was a kid, I would bring home my test result. So I got an 80 in math. I was bad in math before, and I was so proud. I got 80, and I showed it to my dad. And when I showed it to my dad told me, you know, son, next time, I want 85. And so the next grading period, I got 85. So I brought in my dad, and then my dad said, guess what? You know, son, next time, 90. I couldn't reach his expectation. So I got frustrated. And so, but then I still tried to push it. And so because my dad is challenging me, so I push it. So next time, dad, here, 90. Next time, son, 95. I got 95. Next time, son, 100. I got 98, so close it up. Good enough, son, but next time, all your subjects must be like this. You just can't keep... You know, fathers have a tendency to like to do that, set the standards. And because of that, I felt exasperated. But it is this innate desire for our for kids to make their father glad. And sometimes this innate desire, because you have not felt that your father is proud of you, you bring this in college, you bring this to work, you bring this burden of not hearing that from your father, that your father is proud of you, you bring this to work, and it ruins your career. You can we've traced this, we call it father wounds. Most of us, probably 80, 95% of us, live with father wounds. And we don't understand why we couldn't be successful in life. But if you trace it, we have father wounds. And the way, now Pastor Manny, my dad has passed away. And he was not a good father. How do I now live my life knowing that I cannot reconcile with my father because he has passed away? Well, you do that by forgiving your father, surrendering it to the Lord. The burden of making your father proud should not be your burden anymore. Because God loves you unconditionally. You have to surrender it to the Lord. When I was talking about this, and one of our D group members she said to us, you know, Pastor Manny, my dad abused me when I was a kid. Physically, emotionally, and sexually abused me. But when you talked about this, and now that I know that God really wants me to honor my father, despite my father is still alive, I will not allow him to abuse me anymore since I'm adult. I have my family now. But I know now God wants me to honor my father, and I need to surrender that to the Lord. I said, can you pray with me? So this lady, I was so blessed with her heart that despite of what happened in the past, she was able to forgive her father, and she was able to really have a good testimony with his dad, with her dad, I mean, and surrender that to the Lord, and was able to really connect with her father heart to heart. You know, if your father and mother are abusive, I'm not telling you to stay with them and allow the abuse to continue. But you can still honor a person even if they're not honorable. Honoring a person is not about whether or not they're honorable. You can honor a person even if they're dishonorable. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, honor your parents with your hands. So honor your parents with your head. Honor your parents with your heart. Honor your parents with your hands. Matthew 15, 3-6 says here, Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their mother and father shall be put to death. But you say, if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. So what is the background of this story? Well, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and they said, you know what? Since my salary now, since I'm working in the church or in the synagogue, since I'm working for the ministry, my salary now, I'm not obligated to honor my parents by giving them something, giving them money when they're older, because my money belongs to God because I serve in the ministry, I serve in the synagogue. So how do we now apply this? And God is saying, Jesus is saying, well, that is absolutely, absolutely bad. That's absolutely evil. Because you are putting up your tradition up higher than valuing your parents more. Now, how do we now apply this? especially to the young kids. Sometimes your parents would ask you, you know, son, daughter, can you fix your bed or do your assignment or wash the dishes before you leave? And the kids will say, hey, daddy, hey, mommy, we have Elevate. We have choir practice. Can I do that after? Because I'm going to the ministry. I'm going to church. What does the Bible say? Never elevate ministry over what your parents are telling you because that is dishonorable. That is how we apply this verse this time. Never make the ministry an excuse for you to dishonor your parents. If you use ministry, if you use God as an excuse for you not to honor your parents because you're going to church and you fail to honor them and you fail to obey them, Jesus is saying you nullify the word of God for the sake of your ministry. And the worst thing that we as kids, all of us are kids, all of us have parents, the worst thing that we could ever do to our parents is this, or to God is this, that our parents will fail to know Jesus. They don't want to do anything with CCF. They don't want to do anything with the church because our testimony does not reflect what God wants us to do. And they will not become believers. They will not go and become Christians because we have made them stumble with our walk. The worst thing that we could ever do is that our parents will go to hell because of us. That's absolutely the worst thing that we could do to our parents. Now, this is tough. That is why we need to watch our testimony. And the best way for us to bring our family closer to God is for us to honor our parents. It starts at home. We need to engage our family. We should never use the Bible. We should never use the church as an excuse to offend our families. Well, the gospel will offend them at times, because probably we don't share the same belief or the same religion. But make sure your testimony highlights that you are a follower of Christ. You know, there was one of my D group members also. Well, he's a top instructor, fitness instructor in Singapore. He ran away from his parents because he lived in a poor household, and his dad was a drunkard. And as young as 10 years old, his parents made him work in the field, in Bicol. So what he would do is he would go to forest and then get logs and sell it, or get coconuts and sell it. And so as young as he is, his dad is not providing. And not only that, but his father, whenever he provides, this guy, my friend, would provide for the father, give him money, he will use it to drink. And when he comes home, the father will come home, and the son will come home from work, what would the father do? He will beat him up. And sometimes when he's tired of beating up the son, he will beat up the mother. And there were times that this kid would prevent his parent from killing the mother because the dad is already holding an axe or a bolo to kill the mother, and he will be there. Can you see the trauma that must have caused? This the father, I met him, he looks like Buaya. You know Buaya when you were the actor? Max Alvarado. For the Canadians, if you didn't grow up in the Philippines, you know the actor of Machete? In Machete, the movie. Yeah, that looks like that, exactly. That Mexican guy, the one in Con Air. So that guy, I don't know the name of that guy, but he looks exactly like that, and he acts like that, too. And so this guy, now he's 5'11", so tall guy, buff now, Singapore, young and strong. So when he was there, he came back to the he was able to meet the Lord in Singapore, surrender his life to the Lord, and he realized he needs to take care of his parents. So what he did was he flew to Manila, and he learned that his father couldn't walk anymore. So what did he do? He went to Bicol, carried his father, his bare hands, could have beat him up, carried and dropped him. so he carried and put him in a car and drove the car in the cliff. No, he didn't do that. He just carried his father, bring his father home, and took care of him. Brought him to the hospital, really took care, paid for the bills, everything, took care of him. Cooked food for him, really took care of him. And I asked him, why did you do this, bro? And he said, what prompted you to do this? You know, you could have asked your other siblings to do this. And he said, you know what, Pastor Manny? Well, I received the Lord Jesus and his forgiveness. How can I not forgive my father? And he said, Pastor Manny, what I want to do is bring my father, not only take care of him, but really for him to know the Lord. You know, by God's grace, he was able to share the gospel to his father. And his father turned around. You know, he was able to accept the Lord God because of the testimony of his kid. And that is the beauty of honoring your parents. You can bring the toughest father, the toughest mother to the Lord. And God will give you an opportunity to bring them to the Lord. If only your testimony will shout louder than your preaching and what you're saying. That's what he did. So honor is to fix the value, fix the price, and to fix a high value to your parents. And sometimes there will come a time that your parents, you know, for some of you, your parents are still providing for you. That's good. But sometimes there will come a time that your parents can't provide for you anymore. And sometimes your parents are not as strong as you are. Not as smart as you are, because you probably finished college and they didn't. They worked hard here in Canada, but they didn't finish college. You're probably smarter than them because you're finished college, and some of you probably have messed it up. And so sometimes because of our status in life, because of how much we earn more than our parents, they couldn't earn anymore. We have a better education. Sometimes we feel like their value diminishes as they grow older. The Bible says no. Their value, their worth, never diminishes as they grow older. In fact, you elevate it more. It doesn't matter how smarter you, and never, never make them feel that you are smarter than they are, that you know more than they do, that you are stronger than they are. Never make them feel that way, because as far as God is concerned, their value remains. Honor your parents. Fix a high value, fix a high price, place a high value. Now, honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord gives you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honor your parents. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not smite the land with a curse. Now, as I've said, some of you, maybe your parents are abusive. Maybe you grew up in a not good family, and like my friend right there, you were abused as a kid and you were hurt. How do we now forgive our parents? The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, unconditional. Christ loved us nonetheless. Christ forgave us nonetheless while we were still sinners. You can also forgive your parent because of this unconditional love that you have received from the Lord. Now, if you have not received that unconditional love for the Lord, from the Lord, you will not be able to give unconditional love to your parents. Why? Because you cannot give what you do not have. If you have not experienced unconditional forgiveness, you will not be able to forgive unconditionally. Why? Because you cannot give what you do not have. But if you have this, you have no excuse not to forgive your parents. And so I would like every one of us to bow our eyes, bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's pray. Maybe the Lord allowed you to come here today because you're carrying a burden that you've been carrying since you were a kid because you were abused or you were hurt by your father and mother. I believe that the Lord wants you to leave this place and leave those burdens here, right now. You don't have to carry it with you when you go home. You can just lay it at his feet right here, right now. You've been carrying that for, what, 10 years? 20 years? 30 years. God wants to take that burden away from you, that burden of unforgiveness. Maybe you're that person right now. And God is wanting you to forgive your parents, forgive a person, forgive your aunt, forgive your boss maybe. If you are that person right now, you can pray to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I want this burden gone. Take it away from me. I kept holding on to it for 5, 10, 20 years. And I've not enjoyed my spiritual life because of this. But right now, I want to enjoy it. I want to live life to the full. I want to be well and live long. And I will not be well and live long unless this burden is taken away from me. So I surrender this burden to you, Lord Jesus. Maybe for some of you, you don't know, you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet. Well, God wants you to have a relationship with Him right here, right now. He is your good Father. Maybe you didn't have a good Father, but we have a good Father in God. And He wants to have a relationship with you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the reason why He sent His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God wants you to spend eternal life with Him in heaven. And if you're not sure if you're going to have that relationship, if you're going to spend your life with Him in heaven, if you're not sure, you can't be sure right now, I would like you to pray with me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And as a sinner, I don't deserve to be with You, for You are holy God. But Lord Jesus, I know that You have sent Your Son to die on the cross, to pay for all my sins. And Lord Jesus, I believe that. I believe in what Your Son did on the cross. And I also believe that He rose again so that to prove that He can give me life. And so, Lord Jesus, I surrender to You my life. Lord, You are my Savior. And I commit my life to You as my Lord. I confess to You all my sins and I repent from it. Save me, Lord Jesus, and change me and transform my life. Transform my life and transform my family and transform my community because I surrender my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.